Okay, welcome everybody to our special Chodesh Kislev, Mamish Erev Chanukah Shir at the Ohel Sarah Amen group. First of all, Lilui Nishmas, Sari Marta, and Sara Yuta Alaha Hashalom, Besafraim Menachem Mendel, Ladina Martin Shayichu, whose Neshama went up to her eternal rest on Chanukah. Her Yahrzeit is this Chaf Chas Kislev, which is Shabbos Kodesh. Neshama should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of all the Torah that is learned here in her memory, in her zchus, also zchus refu shalema, chai reizel bastina, besoch sh'ar chalei Yisrael, also as an aliyah neshama, the Yahrzeit is chof zayin kislev, which is Erev Chanukah, zev vov bas shlomo, alav ha'shalom, is neshama should have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah, tehi zichro baruch. So here we are. And the Rebbetzin asked me to speak, and she told me today, I said, wow, it's Mamish Erev Chanukah. She said, Mamish Erev Chanukah. So some Divrei Hisorus before the Yom Tov begins tomorrow night. I have to make sure we have everything ready for the Yom Tov. So I've been focusing a lot this year in my teachings on different aspects of the connection between Yosef and Chanukah. Because it's not an accident that the story of Chanukah is celebrated, is remembered, is commemorated. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is always commemorated when we read the story of Yosef in the Parashos of Bereishis. So that's not an accident. Nothing in our calendar is an accident. Time is kadosh, and the occurrences that happen simultaneously have a connection. And therefore, I've been focusing a lot on different aspects. Last night, I gave a different shiur on a different connection between Yosef and Chanukah. So today, I would also like to speak about a connection between Yosef and Chanukah. We meet Yosef in last week's Parsha. It's only Monday, so that's really only 2 days ago. We meet Yosef in last week's Parsha in Parsha's Vayeshev, and we follow his story very much in depth. Yitzchak, for example, is like the most hidden of the patriarchs who gets very little attention. We follow Yosef really from the age of 17 in great detail till the age of 110. And the Pasuk tells us when we meet Yosef, that Yaakov dwelt, well, of course we meet him when he's born, that Yaakov dwelt in the land of his father's sojourns, Vayeshev Yaakov, and that's how the Parsha begins. Vayeshev. Vayeshev means take a seat, relax, kick up your feet. Now it's going to be good for you. Why? What happened until now in Yaakov's life? He's always on the run. He's always fighting with somebody. He has to run away from Esav. He has to hide for 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. He has to deal with Lavan, the trickster who tries to change his wages 100 times, who's dishonest. Lavan b'keshla akor esakal. We begin the Haggadah with him because Lavan, says of Salvation, is the worst anti-Semite. He wants to destroy everything. You cannot say that Yaakov had a life of tranquility, of peace and quiet until this point. Finally, he makes it back to the land of Canaan. Vayeshev. He sits. He's going to relax. Everything's going to be okay. B'kesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva. Yaakov wants a little bit of peace and quiet in his life. Aha, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not enough for tzaddikim that you have shalva, you have tranquility, you get to sit and bask in the glow of the Shekhinah in the next world. You also want tranquility in this world? I don't think so. Kafatz alav rigzo shel Yosef. The trouble of Yosef jumped upon him, or came upon him, or overcame him. Kafatz, it jumped upon him. So that's the first lesson. That tzaddikim don't get shalva in this world. And it's a hard lesson. But it's a lesson that we know from life, from our own lives, from our friends' lives, from the life of Knesset Yisrael and the destiny of our people. You cannot say that Knesset Yisrael has a tranquil destiny. We do not. It will come in the Olam HaEmes, B'Yemos HaMashiach. Not yet. And Yosef hung out with the sons of the Shvachos. Why did he hang out with the sons of the Shvachos? Pasuk says with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. While the sons of the primary wife Leah don't want to have much to do with him. Why not? Because he's the son of the loved mother. And the father transfers all the love to this son. So the sons of Leah are not so happy with him. And Yosef spoke Lashon Hara about the brothers to their father. V'Yisrael ahavas Yosef mikol banav. Israel loved Yosef more than all the other sons. Ki ben zekunim hulo. He was the son of his old age. Targum Onkel says he was the wise son. He transferred all of his chachma, all of his Torah, and all of his wisdom, and everything he learned in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever to the wise son. So someone asked me an interesting question, and she said, why wasn't Binyamin the ben zekunim? Binyamin was really the ben zekunim. He was born when Yosef was 8 years old on the way to Beis Lachem. So we could say two things. Number one, Rachel was the beloved wife, and Yaakov and Rachel never had the shared experience of raising Binyamin. Yosef represents a shared experience. They had something together in raising him for those few years that they were together. And furthermore, Yosef is the Bechar who opens Rachel's womb. He's not Bechar to Yaakov, of course, but he's the Bechar to Rachel. And there's something special about the child who opens up the mother's womb. He made her a mother. And Binyamin cannot say that he made Rachel a mother. In fact, he's the opposite. He took motherhood away from Rachel. I mean, obviously, everything's the Ribbono Shel Olam, but as Vayhi would say, Snafsha, as her soul is going out, she says, Ben Oni, it's the son of my pain. His father changed the name, the son of my strength, but they have a shared connection over Yosef. He loves Yosef so much, and he gives him a Ksonis Pasim. You know, it's Erev Chanukah, and I mentioned this in another Shia the other day. If you give Chanukah presents, you better make sure it's equal. Don't give one kid the most beautiful thing you ever saw and leave everybody else wondering what about me. It's not going to go over so well. Yosef gets his beautiful striped Ksonis Pasim, and the brothers see that father loves them. Father loves him more than the brothers. So they hate him. How ironic that the wife who is hated, she is hated. Therefore, God opens her womb. What happens? The sons of Leah take that hatred and they transfer it to the son of Rachel. There's a lot going on here, a lot of emotions, a lot of questions, a lot of difficulty, a lot of sibling rivalry. Rav Salavitchuk says that in Tov HaYeshev, we're focusing on the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. And then you get to Vayeshev and you're focusing on the relationship of brother to brother. And if anything, it's more strife-ridden than those problems that we face with Lavan and Esav. Okay, so they hate him. They can't talk to him in peace. And Yosef dreams. Yosef is the embodiment of a dreamer. And what does it mean to be a dreamer? And we're going to speak about that today. Davka related to Knesset Yisrael. Vayachalom, you heard another share on that? That's why you're smiling?
The American dreamers.
Oh, because it brings to mind the American dream. So what does it mean to dream? Vayachalom Yosef chalom. Yosef had a dream. Vayaged de'echav. It's interesting, just like his father has that, goes to sleep and he has the nevuah, the dream, Sulam Yaakov. So Yosef has a dream and he tells it to his brothers and they hate him even more. And he says, listen to the dream that I had. We are in the field, we're binding sheaves of wheat, and my wheat gets up and everybody bows down to me and they say, Hamloch timloch aleinu. You're going to take rulership by force, says Rav Salavitchuk. No, Melech, I'm sorry. You're going to take rulership by being voted in. A Melech is appointed by the people. Hamashal Timshal Banu, are you going to be the ruler by force over us? They cannot fathom that this Nunnik little brother who takes all the father's love, who has the Ksonis Pasim, is going to be ruler over us, king over us, despot over us. It's impossible. And they continue to hate him for his dreams and for his words. And then he dreams again. And he says to his brothers, I had another dream. What was the next dream? The sun and the moon, the 11 stars, are bowing down to me. And he tells his father and he tells his brother. And father chastises him. He says, what are you doing? Why do you bring hatred upon yourself? What are you doing? Is it possible that me and your mother, mother's dad, how can we come bow down to you? But I'm bow to you. The brothers are now jealous of him. This is how the end of the story of sibling rivalry ends, because the very next thing we're told about Yosef and the brothers is that they want to kill him / sell him. They end up selling him. He ends up on the same block. In fact, when they see Yosef coming, they don't identify him as the Baal Ksonis Pasim. The root of their hatred is not the coat. And they don't identify him as Baal Ahavas Avinu, but rather they identify him as... They see him coming from afar. They went to Shechem to pasture the flocks. They move on from Shechem to Dothan, which is along the ancient trade routes. And what do they say when they see him? He is the Baal HaChalamos HaLazaba. Look who's coming, the master of dreams. So that means something very important in the life of Yosef is represented in his dreams. And furthermore, what's fascinating is at the end of the parasha, when he's in jail, where he languishes for 12 years, he meets the butler and the baker. And what's his relationship with them dependent on? their dreams. He properly predicts that the baker will be hung and that the butler will be restored to his position, which in fact happens. This is the parasha of 2 days ago. And the parasha we're coming up to on Shabbos, what appears in this week's parasha? More dreams. Whose dreams? Paro's dreams. Paro has dreams and cows. Cows which are not carnivores are eating other cows. And Shtuvos Kadim, the ears of corn, are beaten by the eastern wind. And Paro's dreams, and no one can interpret the dreams. Ah, says the butler, I remember my sin today. You know, there's someone down there languishing in the pit who knows how to interpret dreams. So much of Yosef's life is about dreams. Why? What's the message? What do we learn from Yosef? Furthermore, how does his interaction, if you will, with God differ so much from the interaction of the previous biblical personalities with the Ribono Shel Olam? First of all, what do his... I didn't forget it's Erev Chanukah, by the way. But I remember I told you that I'm really trying to focus on... I am almost. And my venue is trying to focus on the connection between different aspects of the connection to Yosef and Chanukah. It's really how I chose to focus my classes. And I think that it's fascinating to see how many ways there are to connect Yosef and Chanukah. Okay. So first of all, what do the dreams mean? What is he dreaming of? We tend to think... Going back to Yosef's dreams... We tend to think he has one dream with two expressions. You know, I have what I call the Shabbos dream, but it doesn't always manifest as the Shabbos dream. Maybe you could relate. This is a very true story. What's the Shabbos dream? Who knows? What's the Shabbos dream? Okay, I'll tell you what the Shabbos dream is. It's like 4 minutes to Shkia, and I don't have food, or I do have food and it's not warmed up. Or the store is closed, or I'm running around the store trying to... I wish I was making this up. It's... What?
It's no dream.
It's no dream. Or sometimes I'll be too close to Shabbos trying to get somewhere, and I'll say to my mother, it's like I'm in my dream. It's really an anxiety dream. Before I travel sometimes, if I'm worried about missing the flight, the Shabbos dream manifests as the airport. I'm in the airport, the flight's taking off. I'm not lying. This really happens to me. I'm trying to get through the airport and the flight's about to leave and I don't have my luggage. I also have the Erev Pesach dream. It's Pesach and we're not ready for Yantif. I also have it as exams. I'm in school and I haven't prepared for my exams. I call everything the Shabbos dream. It's one dream. It's anxiety that I'm not ready for something very important. I should be dreaming of being ready for the judgment. I may have asked him in Olam HaEmes. That's what's really very important and we're not ready for. That's my Shabbos dream. So we tend to think that Yosef has one dream, success, melech, I have anxiety, Shabbos dream, and it has different manifestations or different venues in which it represents itself. Do you understand? He dreams of being the melech. Right? Because everyone's bowing down to him. The sheaves of wheat are bowing down to him. The sun and the moon and the stars are bowing down to him. Yosef wants to be king. That's in fact what the brothers say. Do you think you're going to be the Melech? Do you think you're going to be the Moshe? The father says, do you think we're all going to bow down to you? Salvation says, it's not one dream. It's not the Shabbos dream that sometimes it's Erev Pesach and sometimes you're in school and sometimes you're in the airport. Sometimes it's Friday and you don't have milk and you're running around the store. That's not what it is. It's two distinct different dreams. The first dream, listen to the Lashon, Anachnu me'alamim alumim betoch hasadeh. We're in the field. The second dream, we're clearly not in the field. Hashemesh vayarech v'achalasar kochavim mishtachavim li. Where are they in the second dream? What? In the heaven. And the first dream, where are they? In the field, in the Sadeh. There is a vast difference between the Sadeh, the field, and the heavenly realm. Of salvation explains that Yosef was dreaming of two different things. Not one dream with two manifestations. Two dreams. What does Yosef want? He wants to be economically successful. He dreams of the Sadeh. He's going to have economic success. Wheat is a base need. Man must have bread. He dreams of rulership economically. Does that dream come true? Yes, of course it comes true. This week's parasha. He's rushed up, and what does Paro say? No one could buy food without going to Yosef. Tzvasnas Panech, an Egyptian name, a golden necklace, Mishnah Lamelech, a chariot. Can you find somebody who is so Naon V'chacham, says Paro? Have you ever seen a Nimtza Ka'ish? Have you ever seen such a man? And he becomes economically successful, pun intended, beyond his wildest dreams. Or perhaps I should say, in fulfillment of his wildest dreams. Economic success. But if the first dream is the dream of economic success, what's the second dream?
spiritual
success. The Jew does not stop dreaming after the Sada. We not only do we want to be economically successful, we need to be economically successful. There is a reason the Chazal say an ani is nechshav kames. A pauper, a person who cannot afford food, who cannot afford Rahman Litzlan. I'm not talking about the luxuries. I'm talking about the basic necessities of life. A person, the Maisa, is a gashmius person. I'm a person of the Sada, of our Minha Adama. And I gotta be able to be economically successful in order to live in this world. Somehow I have to procure wheat. However, Im ein Torah ein kamach, im ein kamach ein Torah. The first dream is the wheat and the kamach and the physical success. And Yosef is going to get it, come what may. Even if all the cards are stacked against him, nothing in Yosef's life says he's going to be successful. He's an orphan when he's 8. He's brought up without the guidance of his mother. The brothers hate him. Add to that, the father gives him extra love, which doesn't help the situation. He has a special multicolored coat, which nobody else gets. The brothers cannot stand him. They dispose of him. He is kidnapped. He is sold. Who is he sold as a slave to? Potiphar. What does Targum Elkhah say? Who's Potiphar? The chief executioner of Pharaoh. You know, you do one wrong thing in the home of the chief executioner and it's off to the guillotine. Let's cut off your head. You served me red wine and I wanted white wine. Well, he's the chief executioner. He likes to kill. And then he's in the home of the chief executioner trying to do everything exactly right. And what happens? Atisa Aishas Adona Veseneh. Who sees him? He's 17 years old. He's a little Jewish kid who finds himself not only in the clutches of the executioner's house, but now there's this wife who won't leave him alone. And then he finally resists, and where does he go? To jail. He's sold and he's 17. He comes before Paro at the age of 30. He's not in jail for 5 days. He's in jail for 12 years. And he says, "Gunav, gunav, gunav, ti me'aretz Ivrim. I was just stolen. I was abducted. I was kidnapped from the lands of the Hebrews. They put me here. Lo asiti mu'uma. I haven't done anything." His life is getting worse and worse. But he never gives up on his dreams. And he never doubts that they will come to fruition. And he embodies Ba'al HaChalamos HaLazah. He is born a dreamer. He lives a dreamer. He dreams as a dreamer. Why did Paro take Yosef's advice, says Rav Soloveitchik, when nobody has an interpretation? The cupbearer says, "Oh, I remember there's someone down there who knows how to interpret dreams." And why does Paro like Yosef's dream? Because Rav Soloveitchik says Paro himself is a dreamer. Dreamer met dreamer. Visionary met visionary. He likes Yosef because Yosef is a dreamer. You know, it's one thing to dream when things are going very well in life. So then you have dreams of things that are calm, that will be better than what you have. But when all the cards are stacked against you, from the time you're 8 till the time you're 30, it's a long time to what? Hold on to your dreams. And yet he believes he will be economically successful. Even though nothing makes sense. But he doesn't stop dreaming of economic success because then he has another dream. And what is his next dream? To hold on to the Mesorah of Beis Avraham. Now, no matter where life will take me or what will happen to me, I dream of the sun and the moon and the heavenly bodies. I set my sights even higher than the Sada. We have to dream past the field. I want to quote Rav Biederman, bring such a nice insight down, Rav Ali Malach Biederman. So he says, this is in relation to Hanukkah, but the dream of the Sada. We all dream of success in the Sada. And hopefully, we all dream of success in the heavenly realm also. I say hopefully because it is undoubted that everybody dreams of success in the Sada. Hopefully, we have the next dream as well. So Rav Ali Malach Biederman teaches as follows in his Torah, Wellsprings on Hanukkah. Many mitzvahs are time sensitive, meaning they must be performed at a certain time. We know that some mitzvahs can only be performed until nightfall, after nightfall. Some mitzvahs only until chatzos. Some mitzvahs, as stated in halacha, at different times. There's sof zman kriya shema. There's time for shkia when you have to light the Shabbos candles. The mitzvahs derabbanan, the rabbis enacted certain mitzvahs, also have a certain time in which they must be fulfilled. What's unusual about the mitzvah of Chanukah Lecht, which as Rosh Hashem we're going to light tomorrow night, is a new terminology to discuss the time frame is used. The Gemara says the candle should burn mishatishka hachama, from the time that the sun goes down, ad shetichla rega min hashuk, until what? There's no more, literally, there's no more feet walking in the market, which means there's no more people out in the streets. So Rabbi Biederman says, we don't find such a description of a time-bound mitzvah anywhere else in Chazal. It's a very unusual term. It's maybe we'll talk about Seis, maybe we'll talk about Bein HaShemashos, maybe we'll talk about Shkia, maybe we'll talk about Olos HaShachar, maybe you talk about Chatzos, but what kind of time category is this? Misha Tishka HaChama, I should say, from the time the sun sets until, I don't know, there's three stars, I'm just making that up. That's Seis. In other words, what is Ad Shetichla Rego Min Hashuk? Until there are no more feet in the market. What it basically means is, says Rabbi Biederman, the candle should burn for half an hour. So why didn't the Gemara just say, Mishatishkan Chama Ad Seis HaKochavim? Maybe it's not so wrong what I said before. From the time the sun sets, into the, you have a period of dusk, and then when the stars come out, let it burn for half an hour, finished. Why did the Gemara create a new terminology specifically for Chanukah Lecht? So he quotes Moshe Leib Sasso Rizatzal. What does it mean until there are no more people in the marketplace? Suggests the Chanukah Lecht will teach people and influence people and show us a certain lesson. Not to rely on their hishtadlus for parnasa and spend so much time in the marketplace. Achatichla rego min hashuk means understand with the Chanukah Lecht, you could leave the shuk. You don't have to be in the Sada. I'm relating this to Yosef's dreams. Yosef understood that he didn't only dream of the Sada. He wasn't at work 24-6. He knew that there was time to go home. He didn't need to sleep in the office. He wasn't there till 9 o'clock. He wasn't there at 5 a.m. to open up. He understood that the way the world works, I have to do my stylish. I have to dream of the Sada in order to live in this world. But nevertheless, after you dream of the Sada, there should be another dream. Are we dreaming that other dream? Chanukah Lecht teaches us, Rav Biederman brings down, Ashatichla Rego Min Hashuk, you could go home. That's when it's time to light the Chanukah, when the Tishka Hachama, when the sun sets. So we say in Shemana Esra, Al Nisachav and Nifloh Sechash Shabachal Yamimanu, for your miracles and your wonders that are every day with us. Every day, says Rav Biederman, Hashem performs miracles for us. And when we light the Chanukah candles and we remember the miracles of the Chashmon Haim, and we remember the miracles He continues to do for us by Yamimahim, Bazman Hazah. Among many miracles, he says, Hashem provides parnasa for everyone. The work we do is hishtadus. It's a tax. It's a punishment. The source of our livelihood is Hashem. He arranges parnassus, says Rav Biederman, in wondrous ways. When we light the Chanukah Lecht and we think about these matters, we realize we should be in the marketplace less. We should be in the Sada less. And we should be with the Shemesh Yareach, the Acharasar Kochavi, maybe a little bit more. Exactly how to execute these ideas, says Rav Biederman, differs from person to person. However, the Mesillas Rishayim writes, a person should be able to sit idle, and the declaration of how much parnassah he'll have should materialize. It doesn't work like that. You do have to dream of the field. That's Yosef. You do have to dream of the shuk. The question is, when do you leave the shuk? Bless you. It's the decree of the king. It's like a tax on all mankind. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread, is the tax you have to pay to bring down the parnasa. However, after he does his hishtadlus, his normal amount of hishtadlus, he has to know it's up to Hashem. Rav Chaim Volozhiner Zatzal compared one who does too much hishtadlus to someone who wants to bring a large, heavy barrel down the hill. If he carries the barrel in his arms, he's a fool. Why? Where's he trying to get the barrel? From the top to the bottom. All he has to do is push the barrel down, let gravity do its job. So to those who do unnecessary hishtadlus. It's like working on carrying the barrel in your arm unnecessarily. The Chanukah miracle shows, says Rav Biederman, Hashem can turn a little into a lot. You have to dream of the Sada. Yosef dreamed of the Sada. We don't discredit that dream. We don't say he was wrong. We don't say he didn't make it. He did make it. But know that after the Sada comes another dream. What is the tafkid? What is my tafkid here? To stop dreaming after the field? To dream only of Gashmias? A materialism. Is that what Yosef really wanted? Soloveitchik says the Ksonis Possum was a coat of multicolors. It was a coat that fused different aspects of Yosef. He represents the Jew who knows he can be successful in all realms. Rav Biederman says Hanukkah shows us Hashem can turn a little into a lot. Because there was one flask of oil. And it was only supposed to burn, of course, we all know, for one night. And Hashem made a nace. You do your shtas. What is the shtas? They lit the candle. How is the shtas? What happened with the little bit of oil? Hashem made it burn for much longer. Hashem performs miracles for us all the time. Like the oil of the menorah, the parnas, Hashem gives us the sada, stretches more than expected. He brings an interesting vart down from this week's parsha. People say money doesn't fall from the sky. The Rebbe of Bunma Pesischa said this isn't true. If Hashem desires it, it will fall from the sky. And how? It's proven from this coming week's parsha, Miketz. When the brothers told Menashe, they don't know how the money got inside the bag. So Menashe said, Elokeichem ve'elokei avichem nasanachem matmon ba'am toseichem. Your God and the God of your fathers put money into your sacks. This is a homiletic interpretation. And the brothers don't disagree. They accepted it as logic. If Hashem wants the money to fall from the sky, says Rabbi Biederman, it will fall from the sky. So we have to know that Hashem performs miracles by lighting the Chanukah lecht. We should come to the realization of Ad Shatichla Regel Min Hashuk. Yosef knew he had to get out of the field. He had to dream of the field to live in this world. We all have to dream of the field to live in this world. But don't stop dreaming at the dream of the field. Ad Shatichla Regel Min Hashuk means set your heights even higher. Beautiful. Yosef refuses to give up. My grandfather, Alav Hashalom, it's a vignette I oft repeat. You may have heard me say it before. My grandfather, Alav Hashalom, well, we lived in Eretz Yisrael for the 1990-1991 school year. It was also the year of the Gulf War. It was a very interesting year for a Canadian kid. So he came to visit that Shavuos. My grandmother had passed away just before that Rosh Hashanah, so he came for that Shavuos. And we went to the Kotel for Birka Kohanim, and he lost his father when he was very young and lived through the First World War, a young boy. In the Second World War, he lost not only his wife, but three children, Ita, Golda, and I don't remember even the name of the third child. It could be Leia. He lost three daughters in the Second World War. And when we went to Birkas Kohanim and he stood and there was tens of thousands of Jews and he said in Yiddish, who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? Az yamalei schok pinu shalneinu rina. B'shuv Hashem shivatzion haynu kechomim. In the end of days, we will see that our dreams will have come true. And we'll say, how is it possible? We went through the slave walk. We went through the executioner guillotine. We went through the seductress who wants to tempt us, which is all the schmutz we have to contend with in this contemporary galus. We went through the Hellenists who are the assimilationists. We went through the Syrian Greeks. Rav Kitov says, Sefer Toda'a, what did the Greeks want? No Shabbos, world without a creator. No Bris Milah, body without restraint. No Rosh Chodesh, time without sanctity. That was their aim. Time is profane. The body, you could do what you want, when you want. And Shabbos represents nothing. That's what the Greeks wanted. By the way, that's why Kitov says, Chanukah always encompasses a Shabbos, the world has a creator, a Rosh Chodesh, time has sanctity, and 8 days, which represents Bris Milah, the guf is bound to the laws of God, not what I want. How long does our God, Zeishus Potiphar, represents the ways of the Syrian Greeks? What does she want? Do what you want, when you want, with whoever you want. I'm not bound, I'm not beholden to anybody. I'm on the slave block. And the guillotine, how many times has it been set up for us? And how many times have we had machlokas bein Adam lechaveru, rachman letzlan? I dare say it continues even still to today. This is our journey. But we can't give up. What does Yosef teach us? On our dreams. The Hashgacha requires, says of Soloveitchik, that a Jew should wait and wait and wait. And there is a zigzag road to redemption. Why can't Hashem just straighten it out? Says of Soloveitchik, if he wanted to give Avram the land, so why Yeri Ezeracha Beretz Lola Va'avadum Vinu Osam Arba Me'ushana Eimech Hashaych Gedolin Ophelas? So the Mefarshim represents the four Golios, a deep, heavy Eimech Hashaych Gedolin Ophelas, deep, heavy, big darkness falling on Avram. What does it represent? All the Golios. Now why is zigzag, bro? Why is Yosef's whole life zigzag? The mother's a baby, she dies, the father loves him, the brothers hate him, this one buys him, that one sells him, Potiphar likes him very much, so he tries to seduce the wife in jail. Why? Can't ask questions why of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Somehow it strengthens us and it makes us hold on to those dreams. Hayinu kechomim. Wow. Those dreams were real. Wow. Redemption came. Hazorim bedima barina yaktaru. Is it true that someone who weeps with tears will sow with joy? Could it be? Who would have thought, said my grandfather, I would ever have lived to see this in my lifetime. The ultimate, of course, dream will only be fulfilled, David HaMelech assures us, in the end of days. But Yosef teaches us that while you're waiting, you don't give up. And in fact, what's the last thing he says to his brothers? I'm not going to live to see the Geula in my days. He did not. He was a Galus Jew. 17 years old, until 17 years old, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. Then he was in Mitzrayim, except for 1 week when he went back to bury his father. So all the cards say, just give up. Fate is stacked against you. Hasn't your God given up on you, the Musa Olam say? You are hounded, oppressed people. We're also in a pit. We're in a bar of galus. But we can't give up. And he knew the Geula would come. Pakod, Yivkod, Elohim, Eschem. Against all odds, the Maccabim were successful. How could a few, Rabbim Biad Ma'atim, how could those few Nebuch, yeshiva boys, Kohanim, not warriors, fight against the many? It's possible. How's it possible that Giborim went into the hands of Chalashim? They had a dream. And the dream was we will wipe out the schmutz and the tumah from our land. And the dream was that even though when they went into the Heichal, it was entirely mitumah. Zeus, a statue to Zeus was in there. A pig has been shechted in there. But they foresaw with their amunah and their dream and their faith that they could be victorious against all odds. Yosef dreamt. No matter what anyone told him, you're crazy, it's never going to happen, we're going to get rid of you, v'nira ma'yachal amosav, I know what Rashi says, but just pashup pshah, the brothers were saying, let's see what will be of his dreams. And yet, destiny was masking, Hashkacha was masking with Yosef, and Hashkacha was masking with the Maccabi, mi kamocha ba'elim Hashem, a small band of choshmonayim. We're not warriors. So you are Eloki. Just learning with someone the instances when the Avos and the Imahos meet at the well. So we're going through different instances when Rivka meets Eliezer at the well. And one of the Mefarshim explains, how is it possible that she managed to fill the trough and drink 10 camels and him? How much do camels drink? So you are Eloki. It's not possible by physical strength, but it's possible by spiritual strength. It's not possible if you only dream of the Sada, but it's possible if you understand Achatichla, Rego Minashok. Get out of the field. You did your Shtadlus. Roll the barrel down. Now dream of the Shemesh, the Yareich, the Acharasar Kochavim. To be a Jew, to survive Galus and to hang on to your dreams means set your sights higher. To spirituality, to the twinkling of the stars in the distance. Look at the Chanukah Lech. I remember what it represents. Have the second dream. Story that I have told before. I love this story. I saw it written last year by Eitan Kobri in the Jewish home. So I saw the story. There was a boy who was the son of a horse trainer, a poor horse trainer. And his family traveled from town to town and city to city training horses. And they could never really make parnasa enough to stay in one place. Very poor, and the boy was always in different schools. So in one school, in one town where they were for a few months, the teacher asked the children to write a report. What do you want to be when you grow up? So the boy wrote a report on what he was going to be when he grew up. He was going to be not a son of a horse trainer, he was going to be a horse owner. He's going to have 30 horses and a 5-acre ranch and a big mansion and people working for him. And he handed in the paper. And the next day, the teacher gave back his paper with a big red F. Oh, perfect. With a big red F on the top of the paper. And not only did she give it back, she wrote, please, you know, they write notes on your paper. Johnny, please see me. Gets back the paper. He's looking, can't understand what's wrong with the paper. So he goes to the teacher. Says, what's wrong with my paper? Was it the punctuation? Was it the grammar? Was it the sentence structure? I had an introduction. I had a middle. I had a conclusion. All of that was great. You're a good English student. This dream is unrealistic for someone like yourself. You are the son of a poor horse trainer. You will never be a horse owner. I will reconsider your grade if you rewrite your paper. So Johnny took his paper home, and he thought and he thought and he thought. And he handed it in the next day, and he wrote, dear teacher, it's going to take me too long to write this. Oh, well. Ah! And he handed back the paper. And under her F and her please see me, he wrote, dear teacher, you keep your F, I'll keep my dreams. The story is much better than that. Because a few years later, many years later, time passed. And Johnny became a horse owner and had a 5-acre ranch and had a mansion. And he invited his teacher with her current 7th grade class to come visit him on his ranch and see his stables and his horses. And when they walked into the home, to the mansion, hanging there in the front hallway over the fireplace was the framed paper with the F that said, please see me. And underneath Johnny, when he was in 7th grade handwriting, dear teacher, you keep your F, I will keep my dreams. And that is the story of Knesset Yisrael. And that's the story of Yosef, whose last name is Tzadik. Not too many people get the name Tzadik. We have Avinu, we have Imenu, we have Rabbeinu, we have HaKohen, we have Ish Tzadik. Oh, no, it is a Tzadik. But we don't refer to him as a Tzadik because Yosef hangs on to his dreams and he refuses to give up. And the Maccabim could have gone into the Heichal and they could have said, there's nothing here. Why are we even bothering? The Lashon of the Gemara is, Kashenichnesu Yivanim leHeichal. When the Greeks, when the Syrian Greeks came into the temple of God, Timu Kol HaShemanim, they defiled all the oils. ShebeHeichal. Ukashegavra Malchus Beis Chashmonai v'Nitzchum. When the house of the Chashmonaim were victorious and they won, Badku. They checked and they checked. Imagine in your head, but the temple, like, you know, you say a tornado went through here and it's full of tumah and it's full of impurity. They could have said, we give up. You know, there wasn't even a golden menorah. The menorah was stolen. They lit on some sort of makeshift tin menorah. What was the point of lighting at all? Furthermore, they could only light tonight. They're not going to be able to light the next night. They only found one little flask with the stamp and the seal of the Kohen Gadah. There was only enough to light for one night. Of course, there was a miracle. And they lit it burned for 8 days. If we hang on to our dreams, if we refuse to give up, even if it's a zigzag road to redemption. Yosef faced such a zigzag road to redemption. And in the end, he didn't even see it in his own lifetime. Yes, they were reunited. But he knew different times were coming. And he lived in Mitzrayim, and he was buried in Mitzrayim, and Nebuch spends all those years in the Nile River. He does not give up on Hashem. Pakod yifkod alokim aschem v'ha'alisam es atzmosai mizeh. When you get out of here, I know, promise, take me with you. I have another dream, and it's to be buried in Eretz HaKodesh. I will get there. In the next year, the next year, they established a holiday of halal, song of praise, and hoda'ah, giving thanks to Hashem. So I want to share with you a fascinating insight that I never considered or heard before, told over last week by Charlie Harari. I speak about this aspect of Yosef often, and that is that Hashem does not talk to Yosef. Yes, he has dreams. Yes, they were nevuos. Yes, he has to tell them over. But Lamaisa, he doesn't actually see God in his dream, like at the top of a ladder. You know, like, don't worry, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be with you. Ufaratzta yama v'kema. There's no Hashem, and there's no God calling out from Shamayim, Avram, Avram. You know, it's fascinating to me. I said it so many times, and I never cease to marvel. Hashem speaks to almost everybody in the book of Bereishis. I mean, Hagar seeing angels right, left, and center. When Yishmael, who in the end will, Rachmana Litzlan, continues to hound us, she's seeing angels. Rashi says she's so used to seeing angels. Lot, who's living in Sodom and Amorah, has visits by the angels. We have to run away. Let's go. Cain's a murderer. God's having a whole conversation with him. Now it's good, and he's not so good. And then you come to Yosef. Yosef wasn't worse than Noach. And he's not worse than Cain. And he's not Hagar and Ishmael. Silence. Where's Hashem when Yosef's in the pit? Where's Hashem when he's on the slave block? Where's Hashem? He lives in a time when Hashem does not speak to him. That's one of the reasons why his last name is Tzadik, like Mordechai. Even though God is silent, they believe in Hashem. How is it possible to have such staunch emunah? His master sees everything he touches turns to gold. He's so successful. Rashi says so famously, 39:3, Shem Shamayim Shagar Befiv. Rav Neben Sal Shlita says, everything Yosef says is prefaced with Be'ezras Hashem, Im Yirtza Hashem, Baruch Hashem. He's always talking about Hashem. How could you always talk about Hashem when Hashem is hidden? Timu Kosh Manim. When you go in and you see the whole place has been defiled, and it seems like God is absent. How could you allow a Zeus in our temple? How could you allow so much assimilation? How could you allow this to go on? How could you have such staunch faith in God when God is not speaking to you? It's the godless of Yosef. It's the godless of finding Hashem in a time of Hester Panim. So Charlie Harari introduced a new concept to me that I never heard before. It's my first place I'm telling it over. I heard him say it last Sunday morning, Learn LA program, and I just thought it was fascinating. OU Learn LA program, I thought it was fascinating. Talking about Yosef and his dreams, and things are constantly getting worse for Yosef. And there's a pasuk when he's on the caravan, he's sold, who sells him up for discussion. Some say it's the Midianim, some say it's the Ishmaelim, some say it's his brothers. Anyway, he's sold. V'hinei archas Yishmaelim ba Megilad, a caravan of Ishmaelites is coming from Gilad. And then the Torah tells us something that seems so not important. Ugmalehem nosim, what are the camels carrying? What's in this caravan? Usually these people carry tar that smells very bad. But the pasuk tells us, Ugmalehem nosim nechos, they're carrying spices, utzeri, balsam, velot, and a different kind of spice, holchim lahorid mitzrayim. Instead of carrying tar or something smelly, they have cinnamon. Excellent. Rashi says, well, you know, the Torah doesn't waste words. Who cares what the caravan is carrying? Why do I care that they're carrying spices? Just tell me, there's a caravan, he ends up in Egypt. No, says Rashi, it's important. Why is it important? Because Rashi says, they usually carry petroleum and resin. Sharechan ra, usually smells very bad. But because of this tzaddik, Lama Pierce Makasu Vesma. So why does Pierce Minusa? That's very cool. I realize I'm reading this Rashi right now. Lama Pierce Makasu Vesma. Yosef's life was one of Pierce Nisa, explains Rav Neben. So some of us just learned through that passage this morning. It's fascinating that if his life was one of Pierce Nisa, Rashi says Pierce. Okay, it's just an aside. Lodia matan scharin shal sadikim, to let you know the reward for the righteous. Because the aravim normally carry smelly things, and for this tzaddik, there is sweet spices, so he shouldn't be harmed by the foul odor. So I don't know if any of us have ever thought much of this Rashi. I never did till I heard Charlie Harari say a geshmak vart. Fantastic vart. He's going to be killed. Dead. He ends up with who? The chief executioner. So it smells good? That's the kindness of God? Wow. Charlie goes, I smell cinnamon. Really? You're in a caravan with Ishmaelites. You were just kidnapped by your brothers. According to some Farshim, he thinks his father is in on the plot. Everyone just got rid of you. You're an orphan. You have nothing. You're going to the slave block. Foreign country. You don't speak the language. Who knows what's going to happen to you? Maybe you're going to die. Cinnamon. Really? Who cares? That's the whole chesed of Hashem. You're going to think of something better? How about, it says about Reuven, Vayatzilim Miyada, maybe Reuven should have just had the courage to take him home. Wouldn't that have been a better Yeshua? And some spices? So the answer is geschmack. Why are you laughing? The answer is so brilliant. So Charlie said as follows. But keep in mind what we already went through, that this is the first time that Hashem does not speak to a major biblical personality in the book of, even minor, I wouldn't say Hagar so major, and she's seeing Malachim, one Malach, two Malach, three Malach, four Malach, they keep coming at her when she's floundering by the well. So Charlie said something unbelievable, which I never considered before, because I know that Hashem doesn't talk to Yosef, and I know it's in the Pesukim, just read the Pesukim. This is the first time God talks to man, not in man's language, but in God's language. Man's language is, I will be with you. He appears to us in a dream. Don't worry. Don't shecht your son. Noach, build the ark. Cain, where's your brother? That's language we can understand. He's talking to me in a way that I can understand. And here on the caravan, destiny changes. Now, of course, by Moshe Rabbeinu, he's going to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu again in our language. But this is not our language. It's not English, it's not Lashon HaKodesh, it's not Spanish, it's not Arabic. It's spices. It's nature. It's small signals that Hashem is actually with us. It's not a blatant announcement. It's not a proclamation. It's not a tweet. It's not an email. It's not a WhatsApp. Bing, God's on your screen. I understand. It smells like cinnamon. Wow. Cinnamon. Hashem, you're talking to me. Right here. You're with me. It's so geschmack. It's the first time that we have in Bereishis that Hashem talks not in our language, but in His language. And now in that caravan, everything changes. So how is Yosef able to recognize Yad Hashem and Hashem Taka doesn't talk to him? Because Yosef learns to talk God's language. That's God's language, nature. Signs. One little pach shemen. Hidden amongst all that filth, under all the rubble, and all the tumah, and all the impurity. You know, we could apply what Charlie said to Hanukkah. They could have walked into the Heichal, and they could have said, how many have assimilated? How many have gone to the other side? How many stopped doing Bris Milah? How many stopped keeping Shabbos? How many have not been Mekadesh the Chodesh? There's so much tumah in our land. Wow. One little pach shemen. Wow. That's it? That's all you could do for us, God? Yes. That's it. Search. He's talking His language. So unbelievable. It's tremendous. To realize this. It's the first time you're telling it over. It was worth sitting through his whole 40-minute talk to hear him say this to Ara. I don't want to take questions, please. It's brilliant. No, I mean, it would be worth it. Anyways, with his humor and his jokes, it's a great way of telling it over. But this, ooh, it's the first time Hashem talks in His language. And what does it mean to be a good communicator, said Charlie? It's not to listen when someone is speaking in your language. That's not being a listener. That's hearing yourself. It's learning to listen how they're speaking. Now, my son was talking to me last night about football in Buffalo, and I was listening. It was very interesting. I don't really care about the football game in Buffalo. But he wants to tell me about the football game in Buffalo, and I want to be a listener, and I want to talk his language so we can communicate. So I'm going to listen. look how much snow. It was actually very cool. I don't know how they played, if anybody saw any of it. It was more than a foot of snow in the football game. It was unbelievable. It was mamish a snowstorm, and they're trying to kick the ball. The score was very close. See how much I know? I don't know anything about football. You have to get a touchdown. Because Charlie said, it was actually very cool. On the stands, he showed me pictures of the fans in the stands. I mean, they were covered in snow. They're playing football. The last kick of the game, the players on the team are trying to move away the snow so we could get the kick and try and get the point through the goalpost snowstorm. How did they do it? I don't know. This morning we followed up a little bit more. Amazing. Because communication is listening to the speaker, not how you talk, how they talk. Oh, so yo, it's so unbelievable. So what was Yosef godless? What was the godless of the Maccabim? Of the band of Hashmonaim, Kohanim, Yeshiva boys, of the Hashem, who are going to war. One little Pach Shem, and that's it. It smells like cookies. Wow, I'm so happy to be on the caravan. Yeah, because God's talking to you the way He talks. And how does God talk? Through nature. I mean, no one ever here, with all my Shabbos dreams, I never had a dream of Hashem at the top of a ladder. Let me just tell you. He was never talking to me. But He talks to us in different ways. And that's the nes of Hanukkah. And that's another reason I told you that I'm trying to focus my classes on the connection this year between Yosef and Hanukkah. And that's the connection between Yosef and Hanukkah. And why the story of Yosef always is read as we commemorate the Yom Tov of Lahodos Elahala. What are we giving thanks for? One Pach Shem, and it's the miracle of oil. Even if you do nothing else on Hanukkah, you didn't need a laka, you don't have a sufganiyah, you don't have a present in sight, but you lit the menorah. What does it represent? That Hashem's talking to us, and He wants us to hear Him. And in order to hear Him, we have to understand His language. We understand our language. I know my language. But do I understand the language of the Ribono Shel Olam? That's it. I don't even have a menorah. But find me there, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm with you. That little sign is showing you I haven't given up and I haven't left you and I will always be with you. And our tafkid is like, how brilliant is that? It's so beautiful. Now we have to amend my teaching. It's not that Hashem doesn't talk to Yosef. He does talk to Yosef, but not in the lashon that we use. The Ramban famously teaches, people make a mistake. We think there's nisim and we think there's teva. The Ramban says, you're wrong. All of teva is a nis. That's how Hashem talks to us. And that's how Yosef, it is after the spices on the caravan that all of a sudden Yosef is talking about God. If you pay attention to the story, pre-spices on caravan, Yosef is a 17-year-old boy. He's talking about his dreams, but you never actually see Shem Shamayim Shagur Befiv. But after that experience, it smells like cinnamon. Wow, Hashem is with me. And when the narrative resumes in Perek Lamed Tes, when the master sees everything he does is successful, that's when Rashi tells you, Shem Shamayim Shagur Befiv. He learned to listen to Hashem's language. He never gave up on his dreams. We can never give up on our dreams. Who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? B'shuv Hashem Eshiv Atzion Hayinu Kecholmim. Az Yamale Schok Pino Shal Nein Arena. Az Yamu Vagayim Higdal Hashem Lasosimela. It says, Zorim Bedima Birine Yitzur. Boy, did he cry. Yosef cries and cries and cries. And he does not even live to see the fulfillment in his days. Pakod Yivkor Elokim Eschem. But he understood that Hashem was always with him. Why? Because the caravan had spices, not tar. And the Maccabim understood, Mi kamocha ba'elim Hashem, God was on their side. How did they know? There might not have been a menorah. And they might not have had a great army. And maybe they were weak and not strong. But there was one little Pach Shemen. It was Munach, b'chosmo shal kohen gadol. And that wasn't a Pach of oil. It was Hashem calling to them. Even if I'm hidden and it's hard to find me, I'm here. And in order for us to get through our own pit of galus, we have to be attuned to the voice of the Ribono Shel Olam. because he speaks to us in his language. And that's the nace of Hanukkah. And that's the Yom Tov of the oil. And when we light the first lich tomorrow night, Be'ezras Hashem, you have to remember Yosef and the Chashmonaim. And all of our brave people through all time. Sh'asanisim avasini bayami mahim bazman hazai. I wish you all a very lichtige, life-filled, warm Hanukkah. Don't stop at the Sada. We have to dream much higher than that. Be'ezras Hashem, it will come to fruition. Yes. One second.